Welcome to another session of Digging Deep into the Word. And today we'll be looking at a mystery of salvation. The mystery is so deep, not too many people can flow with it. We'll be looking at a topic entitled The Evidence of Salvation. There's a mystery there. A lot of people believe they are saved. And like we spoke in our last message, people are saved by assumption. So we're making attempts through this message to let the people know how to make their calling and election sure. How to be sure that you are saved.
Stand up with your Bible. John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 21 and verse 22. Let's pick it for a text. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Our Father and our God, we thank you for opportunity like this. When we stand up and we read the Bible, anyone that has gone to school can read the Bible. But only you can give the understanding. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. May you breathe your life into these letters that we have read. Cause somebody to see a reason to be more serious with your salvation plan. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Be seated. I pick my text from that second statement in verse 22. He said, salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Amen. I believe that's why we are all in church. Everybody is saying we are saved. If Jesus Christ will come today, everybody will say, we will go. Seller will say, I will make it. Catholics will say, I will make it. Deeper Lab will say, I will go before all of you. And choosing heaven at last. Everybody is going to heaven. See? But if I ask you, if I call four people to stand up here now, five people to stand up, who say, if Jesus come today, I will go with him. Give me the evidence. What makes you believe you will go? Five of them will give five different reasons. As the confirmation they have. Therefore, it is important that we take this sermon topic I titled The Evidence of Salvation. The Evidence of Salvation. What is the evidence of salvation? Praise the Lord. And why this is very important, I pick verse 22, that second statement where Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. I also remember that the Syrophoenician woman came to him, a Gentile woman, and told him that he should come and heal her child. And Jesus said, Amen. It's not proper to give the children's food to dogs. So Gentiles are dogs before the Jews. He told his disciples that he didn't come but for the lost house, lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said it clearly. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said it. So now, but how come now those dogs, uncircumcised people, now, salvation now is contrary to what Jesus said here. Salvation is now for all. Whether you are a Jew or you are a Gentile. How has salvation now come over to the Gentiles? Now, if you don't understand it, I am telling you, all you will be doing is just religion. And you are the type that can switch from one faith to another faith. Very easily. You can switch from Islam to Christianity. From Christianity, you will soon shift to Hindu. Because to you, you is after all, it's God. Everybody is serving God. And when you meet this moralist speaking, you will think they are saying something. They can sweep you off. When they begin to tell you, look, look, look. Man is the one that is confusing people. There is only one God. We all came from Him. Whatever it is, you are just worshiping. It's the same God you are worshiping. But Jesus Christ added, the hour cometh, when the true worshippers will worship Him where? In spirit and in truth. In truth. In truth. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Concerning salvation, salvation is not like political party. Jesus is saying, come and join my party. Muhammad is saying, come and join my party. It's not like that. Until you catch it, you will just be a religious person. And that is the burden in my heart. Because I know that if I can succeed in making somebody understand salvation, the job of the pastor is 99% done. All these dragging people to come to church, dragging people to live life pleasing before God, a life of righteousness, it is because they have not yet understood salvation. All these things about somebody who says he's a Christian, and there's no difference between you and the unbeliever in your lifestyle other than the fact that you hang a cross and you belong to a church. It is because you don't understand salvation. All these things that Christians, we hold a book. That same book told you, you want to go to heaven. But this is a qualification for heaven. For this category of people will not enter into the kingdom. You are holding that Bible. You are reading it, and yet you proclaim you want to go to heaven, and yet you live contrary to what that book is saying. It is because you don't understand salvation. You see? And that is what in this ministry, all of us that come and preach here, that's what we try to establish. That you will come to a ministry like this, and you will soon discover that you thought you were a Christian. Only by the standard of His word, when it is open to you, to see that you have not even begun. You are even serving a God you don't even know. But the confusion there is that anytime in that your estate, you pray, He gives you what you want. There's even a fire that comes upon you. Amen. You come to church. I was sitting down a few days ago. We were watching something on the television with my wife. Only two of us in the sitting room. And suddenly I jump up. She said, what? I say, God just ministered the meaning of a scripture to me. And let me understand a question that has been in my mind. Where, for the first time, I received the understanding. Why there are people, when they come to church during service, anointing will come upon them. They will fall down that anointing. Evidently, you can see that this is an anointing of the Holy Ghost. Genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost. But after service, they are going back to carry that earring and wear. So what happened? I was confused until that day. Pastor Thomas, I couldn't hold it. I shared it with you. Immediately I saw you. You know, anytime you catch something, you phone me. And so me too, if I catch something, I will run to you. Say, come see another one where I catch. Praise the Lord. The day you understand this process of salvation, you will not need a pastor. You will be judging yourself every day. You will know where you stand. It is then you will know how to pray. When Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, which is the theme of our program, two groups of people are coming here based on your understanding. One group, they are coming for this program to receive anointing so that they go see. So that they too can go and be praying for people and receive favor. They are coming to receive anointing. The second group of people, they have caught a revelation that without the Holy Ghost, I am wasting my time. I need the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, I cannot go to heaven. And church, it is not the Holy Ghost, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, church. Listen. When we say, without the Holy Ghost, you are not a Christian. It is not like an identity card I'm giving you. It is not. There is something the Holy Ghost comes in you and does. And until you allow the Holy Ghost to do that thing, you have not yet received Him. Though He may be with you. That is why, when we come like this, we that preach in this church, watch the direction we go. All that is in our hearts is to make somebody take your eternal destination seriously. Contrary to what Christianity has been presented, they have not presented the real Christ to us. They have been presenting another Christ. They have not been preaching the real gospel to us. They have been giving us another gospel. They have not been ministering the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They have been giving us another spirit. When you come here, we want to remove all that nonsense. Listen when we preach, church. Our emphasis in this ministry, is it your money? No. It is a life of righteousness. There's a reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Have you ever thought on this scripture? In John chapter 3, we know that scripture. Everybody knows it. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ. Hi, master teacher, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. We know. We, the father, he said we. It means he belongs somewhere. Where did he belong? He belonged to the critics of the ministry of Jesus. And so he just sneaked himself in the night, not in the daytime. And sneak and came and said, we know. We know. Then Jesus Christ answered him. You know, Abby, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You don't know anything. All you are doing is, you are hearing things you have not heard before. But for you to understand what is happening, you must be born again. The man asked him, how can a man be born again? Does he mean I have to enter my mother's womb again and be born? Because when people read the Bible, with the mouth, confession is made with the heart, one believer, and then with the just confess Jesus Christ, his Lord, and has risen from the dead, you will be saved. Just like that, then I will be saved. Then praise the Lord. then somebody again will come and tell you that you are not yet saved. Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus, all you are seeing is anointing. But the reason for this anointing, you don't know it. God does not entertain anybody. He was using that anointing to cause an attraction, but they didn't know it. But before you can know it, except a man be born again, do you know that including Peter, including Judas, and all his disciples, they were walking with Jesus, but they did not know who he is. And because they did not know who he is, hallelujah, they could not stake their life for it. So Peter, when the time came, proving time, nobody even followed this man up and down. When they make noise, they say, lie, I don't know him. I don't know him because he was not yet born again. He was not yet born again. And because he was not born again, he could not understand who Jesus is. Although he answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He was only repeating what he had in the spirit. So many of us are saying Jesus is Lord because it's written in the Bible. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. All you are saying, Peter, is you had something you are saying. The evidence is what happened on the night he was to be crucified. He denied him. But when he got converted, hey, hallelujah. Following Jesus is not enough until you allow Jesus to convert you. He said, Peter, the enemy desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. So you are walking with Jesus and you are not yet converted. Some of us are walking with Jesus, we are not converted. You are not yet converted, oh, until you are born again. And you are not born again by a confession. You are not born. Look, church, listen. They ask Apostle Paul. They ask him, they say, come, you are talking about resurrection. He said, how will a dead person come back to life again for resurrection? What did he say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 and 36. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? It's a mystery, isn't it? Hallelujah. He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Hallelujah. When Apostle Paul told the Colossians, he said, put off the old man and put on the new man. If you are going to come, that we sow it. So where do you sow it? You bury it under the ground. In water baptism, you were buried with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A new life will not come except you die. Except you die, a new life cannot come. So you are foolish to think that you enter that water, you come out, your life doesn't change. You remain the same way you enter, and you say, I am saved. He said, you are a fool. You can never experience a new life until the old one dies. It's a mystery, church. It's a mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am speaking about salvation. When Jesus Christ said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, he's not talking to prostitutes outside. He's talking to you who thought you were saved. That's why I say you must not be saved by assumption. You must be certain of your salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You must be certain. Be certain of your salvation. Don't play with it. Every day, search to find out. Because you are talking about life and death. Those who know that there is death working in their body by way of maybe high blood pressure. By their bedside, there is blood pressure machine there. There's blood pressure machine so that when you see the sign, what do? You will take the blood pressure to confirm whether it is high or not so that you will take the medicine. So it is with our spiritual life. Our blood pressure machine is the Bible. We keep it by our side. When you begin to see some dirty behaviors that you know a Christian shouldn't do, then you find out what is happening to you from that Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The medicine for conversion is not fasting and prayer. The medicine for conversion is the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. You want to understand God. Hallelujah. You don't go to the mountain to understand God. You don't do dry fasting to understand God. Understand Him first before you go to the mountain. Know Him first. If not, on top of that mountain, Satan will come to you and you will think it is the Holy Ghost. Make sure you know what salvation is. If not, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus Christ said, salvation is not for Gentiles as at that time. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then, when and why? Let me use the word why. Why did salvation come to the Gentiles? Then why? 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 Because the prophet has spoken it. In the Old Testament, Jesus himself later on, he got a better understanding, so to say. Hallelujah. And then Apostle Paul explained it. Let's look at the three of them. The first one is Isaiah 56. Verse 8. This is the prophecy. The Lord God, which gathered the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. Hey, so there are others. There are others. And I'm one of them. How many more here? How many? I am one of those others. Praise the Lord. It was a prophecy. There are others beside this one that are gathered here that he must gather also. The Spirit of God had us in mind in a salvation plan. John chapter 10, Jesus himself now was talking to his people. And verse 16, hallelujah. He says, verse 15, let's read from verse 15 and 16. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, Israel, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, neither Jew nor Gentile. He had you and me in mind. And Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 from verse 22. Let's read it up to verse 26. See how it happened? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore, that is, before, I'm sure that should be from the foundation of the world, prepared unto glory, even us, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. And her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place among the Gentiles, where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. God's plan for salvation. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So why did he come to us? He had us in mind. How was he to achieve this? How was he going to achieve it? I am telling you the story of redemption. I am telling you the divine agenda for the salvation of the whole world. People don't know why God picked Israel. God picked Israel for a purpose. To manifest his attributes. He was doing testing. Hallelujah. One time he took Abraham. Have you ever reasoned? Why will God take the only son, Abraham? If you read that scripture, he said, Abraham, take thy son. Then he added, thine only son. And go and sacrifice. Hey. And then Abraham obeyed. He didn't agree. Carry firewood that he will use to burn that guy. His only child. Tie him. And began to go. Praise the Lord. Began to go. And he was going to kill him. Why did God stop him? God said, this man challenged me. His only son he was able to offer. Then I should not withhold my only begotten son. If a man can offer his only son, then I should also. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And offered him for the propitiation of our sins. A sin offering on the cross. People don't understand. He'll be testing here and here. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One time he allowed Jacob. Hallelujah. To bless. Jacob was going to bless the two children of Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh. And the senior son was brought to the right hand because these were spiritual people. Spiritual people. This is where the strength is, the right hand. And he knows that anything that man says at that stage, it will come to pass. Jacob was a prophet. He brought the junior one to the left side. And before you know what, when it was time to bless, he crossed this hand to the junior, the left hand to the senior. Joseph was trying to protest. He said, leave it like that. Now God, do it. Hallelujah. The first shall be the last. And the last shall be the first. Who is that first? Israel. Who is that last? The Gentiles. And how did he achieve it? By the way of the cross. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till the throne is at last I laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. And the changing sound for us. Hallelujah. So I'll cherish that old. Till my throne is at last I lay down. I will cling. Apostle Paul caught the picture.
I love that man. When you want to read the epistles of Apostle Paul, don't read it like a novel. Read it. Pray yourself before you start to read. He was too deep in understanding of salvation. Hallelujah. He's the one that brought it out for us to see why God chose Israel like that. And why God gave them the law. Do you know that God gave Israel the law, but he knew that they will not be able to keep it? So the law was not meant for them to keep it. There is a different reason why God gave them the law. We shall look at it. But I have a thought for somebody here who is joking with an eternal destination. Through that song, I want the musicians to sing. When the bridegroom cometh, by and by, will you be ready? Because that is the only reason, that's what we are preparing for, in receiving the Holy Ghost. Listen to that song. That's a thought for you. That's a thought. Let's think on that.
Born in bright.
Oh, be ready. That's a message for somebody who is not yet ready. May he come and find his bride ready to go with him in the name of Jesus Christ.